You are listening to the Talking Information Center. My name is Jean. Today's date is January 25th, and I will be reading from the Providence Journal. A Wintry Punch. A storm moving into the region Wednesday should start as snow in time to make the evening commute messy before turning to rain Wednesday night and bringing the potential for flooding, the National Weather Service says. The wind could also gust to 40 to 50 miles per hour overnight and could knock out power. Forecasters are predicting 3 to 4 inches of snow for the northwest corner of Rhode Island and lesser amounts to the south and east. Providence should get 1 to 2 inches. Along the coast, the storm might start as a mix of snow and rain. The coast shouldn't see any accumulation. The precipitation should change from snow to rain between 6 p.m. and midnight, starting in the south and moving north. Rhode Island and southeastern Massachusetts could see 2 to 3 inches of rain, enough to cause street flooding and minor flooding along rivers and streams, the Weather Service says. The region has had frequent rain, but not much snow so far this winter, just 4.7 inches from the start of December through Monday in the Providence area. Normally, the Providence area has had about 15 inches of snow by now. The storm should bring 6 to 8 inches of snow to northwestern sections of Massachusetts, where the cold air will stay in place longer. In Rhode Island, rain is likely to continue into Thursday morning before it winds down and turns partly sunny, though it will stay breezy, according to the Weather Service. Cop says he sought chat with teen driver. Off-duty Pawtucket police officer Daniel Dolan was driving an unregistered truck with an open beer beside him on the June evening in 2021 when he pursued a speeding car with intentions, he testified in trial Tuesday, of having a fatherly chat with the motorist about the dangers of erratic driving. As a middle school resource officer, that's what I do all day long, he said. I call them fatherly chats. Instead, Dolan ended up shooting and wounding Dominic Vincent out of fear for his life, he testified, as the then 18-year-old sat behind the wheel of his car outside a West Greenwich pizza shop. At that moment, I believed I was going to fall in front of the vehicle and get dragged down the road, Dolan told a Superior Court jury. Dolan, facing 4 felony charges of unjustly shooting Vincent, took the witness stand in his own defense Tuesday, insisting he shot Vincent after aiming through the windshield to stop the car he said was bearing down on him. Dolan actually shot through the driver's side passenger window, witnesses and ballistic experts testified, an undisputed fact that prosecutions say proves he was not in harm's way when he fired. Under direct questioning by his defense lawyer, Michael Colucci, Dolan, 40, explained his years as a Marine and his 3 tours of duty in Iraq and Afghanistan before joining the Pawtucket Police Department in 2015. Most recently, he had been a resource officer at Slater Middle School. He said he encountered Vincent's black Audi on the way home to Coventry on Interstate 95 on the evening of June 23, 2021, when it sped past him so fast he could feel the wind shift over the road. Dolan said he suspected the car was fleeing from the police and that it's passing other vehicles in the breakdown lane at more than 100 miles per hour showed a disregard for human life. Still, Dolan said he didn't decide to pursue the car until he took his normal exit off the highway, exit 6 at the time, and saw it about 500 feet down Newsneck Hill Road. He sped after it to get a license plate number to pass on to local police, he said, but then noticed it pulling into Wicked Good Pizza and followed it into the parking lot. Even then, Dolan said, his intention was only to observe the vehicle. But then, Dolan said, the car made an aggressive move toward his Ford 350 truck as he attempted to pull in beside it. Vincent testified earlier he had pulled in and started to swing around in the small lot to head back out once they had picked up a pre-ordered pizza. Dolan then jumped out of the truck and approached the car, showing his badge. Vincent and two friends testified that they saw this man in cargo pants, a T-shirt, and a baseball cap as a threat, not a police officer, and tried to back away from him. Dolan walked toward the car as it backed out of the parking lot, all the time showing his badge and yelling for the driver to stop. Dolan said he found himself in front of the car and shot only after it had hit him. I was knocked backwards and to my right. During cross-examination, Assistant Attorney General Dan Guglielmo, Chief of the Office's Civil Rights Division, sought to discredit Dolan's testimony. Guglielmo said Dolan didn't just find himself in front of the car as if he floated down in front of it. You purposely walked in front of it, didn't you? He asked. Unintentionally, Dolan said. Not true, Guglielmo said, noting Dolan had, on three separate occasions, in his official statements to investigators, said that he walked in front of the car. Guglielmo read those parts of the statements to the jury. And nowhere in any of those reports did you ever say you were bumped by the car, did you? Again, Guglielmo asked. You come in here expecting the jury to believe you were bumped, knocked backwards by that car, right? Yes, sir. So now you are changing your story, said the prosecutor. You want this jury to believe that this whole episode happened because you wanted to give some fatherly advice? Yes, sir. But you had no authority to stop this car, did you? Guglielmo challenged. You could have called in the plate number to Coventry Police, but you didn't. You were driving an unregistered truck with an open beer bottle in the front seat, and, Guglielmo said, you pulled in there with the idea that you were going to teach this little punk kid a lesson. Isn't that right? No, sir. You are creating an incredibly dangerous situation, aren't you? No, sir, Dolan answered. Asked why he jumped out of his truck so fast if he only wanted to observe the situation, as he had earlier testified, Dolan said he pulled out of the truck looking for a tactical advantage at that point, wanting to get to the occupants of the car before they got out and possibly surrounded him. You're talking like this is a takedown of Al-Qaeda, Guglielmo said. This is a pizza stand. The trial resumes Wednesday. Reed seeks probe into egg prices. Is something foul afoot? With egg prices forcing consumers to shell out more, U.S. Senator Jack Reed is asking the Federal Trade Commission to look into whether large egg companies are engaged in the foul play of price gouging. I write to urge the Federal Trade Commission to open an investigation into potential price gouging and other deceptive practices by the country's largest egg companies that appear to be contributing to cost increases for American consumers, Reed wrote in a letter on Tuesday. By the end of December 2022, the price of a dozen eggs had surged 267% from the start of the year, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, leaving consumers paying an average of $4.25 a carton. The price hike was widely blamed on the avian flu outbreak that killed millions of egg-laying hens, combined with a seasonal supply and demand issue. Prices have started to come down, with the typical carton in the Northeast now costing $330 to $334, according to USDA report issued Monday. Despite the hardship egg companies are reportedly facing, the largest U.S. egg producer, Cal Maine Foods, reported record profits in the most recent quarter. This, Reed wrote, could be an indication of price gouging. He also pointed to an American Egg Board report that said flocks are only 6% below normal levels. A May 2022 report from the USDA that said the price increase was much larger than the decrease in production. The USDA observed little effort among the largest egg producers to increase production to moderate prices. He also said local egg producers, which have faced many of the same market challenges as the biggest producers, have managed to keep the prices under control. Reed is not the only one calling for an investigation. The lobbying organization Farm Action sent the FTC a similar letter last week. Ultimately, it's up to the FTC to decide whether it wants to open the investigation and ultimately whether to levy any punishments such as fines against companies in the industry. DeSantis rejects Black History Class. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis reiterated Monday the state's rejection of a proposed nationwide advanced African American studies course, saying it pushes a political agenda, something three authors cited in the state's criticism accused him of doing in return. DeSantis said his administration rejected the College Board's Advanced Placement African American Studies course because we want education, not indoctrination. It was revealed last week that the Florida Department of Education recently told the College Board it would bar the course unless changes are made. The state then issued a chart late Friday that says the course promotes the idea that modern American society oppresses Black people, other minorities, and women, includes a chapter on Black queer studies that the administration finds inappropriate, and uses articles by critics of capitalism. The governor said the course violates legislation dubbed the Stop Woke Act he signed last year. It bars instruction that defines people as necessarily oppressed or privileged based on their race. At least some writers, the course cites, believe modern U.S. society endorses white supremacy while oppressing racial minorities, gays, and women. This course on Black history, what's one of those lessons about? Queer theory. Now, who would say that an important part of Black history is queer theory? That is somebody pushing an agenda, said DeSantis, a possible Republican presidential candidate in 2024. Florida House Democratic leader Fentress Driscoll called the administration's rejection of the course cowardly and said it sends a clear message that Black Americans' history does not count in Florida. Imagine how boring and close-minded we'd all be if we only met ideas that we agreed with, she said Monday. The College Board, after a decade of development, is testing the African American Studies course at 60 high schools nationwide. No school or state would be required to offer it after its scheduled rollout. The organization offers AP courses across the academic spectrum, including math, science, social studies, foreign languages, and fine arts. Taught at a college level, students who score high enough on the course's final exam usually earn course credit at their university. The College Board hasn't responded to emails and calls since Friday. It issued a statement last week saying it encourages feedback and will consider changes. The state, in its Friday chart, criticized five living authors. The Associated Press emailed them, and 3 responded. The section on Black queer studies includes readings by Roderick Ferguson, a Yale University professor of women's, gender, and sexuality studies. The state says he exclaims, "We have to encourage and develop practices whereby queerness isn't a surrender to the status quo of race, class, gender, and sexuality." Ferguson said that quote comes from an interview he did about his book, One Dimensional Queer. The book, he said, is a discussion of employment discrimination, laws against LGBTQ people, the suppression of progressive movements in the U.S., police violence against minority communities, restrictions on immigration, and anti-Black racism. These are real histories. The arguments about them are based on scholarly investigation and research, as are the arguments from the other scholars on this list, Ferguson said. Killing of journalists jumped by 50% in 2022. Killings of journalists around the world jumped by 50% in 2022 compared to the previous year, driven largely by attacks in Ukraine, Mexico, and Haiti. According to a report Tuesday by the New York-based Committee to Protect Journalists, at least 67 news media workers were killed worldwide in 2022, the highest number since 2018. Journalists in the three countries say the increased danger has forced them to work under extreme stress. The effect is particularly notable in Haiti, where 7 journalists were killed in 2022, a huge number for a small island country of about 12 million people. Some were killed by violent street gangs that have basically taken over the capital, Port-au-Prince, but at least 2 were shot by police. Radio Caribs reporter Mackenzie Remy, who still covers news on the street, said journalists no longer know whom to trust. Reporting in Haiti nowadays is extremely difficult for journalists, specifically in the capital, Remy said. Corruption is all over the place. There is no one you are able to count on. The CPJ noted that more than half, 35 of the 67 killings, took place in just 3 countries, Ukraine, Mexico, and Haiti. Mexico saw 13 news workers killed, according to the committee. Other media groups have put the number at 15, which would make 2022 the deadliest year in at least 3 decades for Mexican journalists. In war-battered Ukraine, 15 news workers were killed last year, CPJ said. The CPJ said it had confirmed that 41 of the 67 journalists were killed in direct connection with their work, and that is it is investigating the motives for the 26 other slayings. The CPJ said journalists covering the war in Ukraine face enormous risk. Members of the press are frequently injured by shelling while covering the conflict, and some report they have been targeted by Russian forces, the committee said in its report. In Mexico, the slayings appear to be due to a toxic mix of drug gang violence, local political corruption, and a lack of punishment for killers. Sonia De Anda reports for the Esquescar 32 news website in the northern border city of Tijuana, where 2 journalists were killed in the space of a week in January 2022. She said reporters there have changed their work habits or requested police protection since the killings. "This changed our entire work dynamic, Diana said. "If reporters go to a high-risk area that's further away, they'll tell their colleagues where they're going." On January 17, 2022, crime photographer Margarito Martinez was gunned down outside his home. 5 days later, on January 23, reporter Lourdes Maldonado Lopez was found shot to death inside her car. The 2022 killings also included four journalists in the Philippines and two each in Colombia, Brazil, and Honduras. Two journalists each were also killed in Bangladesh, India, Myanmar, Somalia, and Chad. One journalist was killed in the United States last year, on September 2nd. Jeff Gurman, a reporter for the Los Angeles Review-Journal. A Los Angeles Review elected official about whom German had written articles has pleaded not guilty to the slain. Jamaica, FBI to aid in Bolt fraud case. Jamaica's government has turned to the FBI for help as it investigates a massive fraud case involving a private investment firm worth $12.7 million belonging to renowned sprinter Usain Bolt has gone missing. The fraud lasted 13 years and also ensnared elderly clients and government, agencies. Attorneys for Bolt, who said the star athlete's account has dwindled to just $12,000, have given the investment firm until Friday to return the money before going to court. The government also asked other international partners it did not identify for help in investigating one of the island's largest fraud cases, Finance Minister Nigel Clark said Monday. The anger and unease we all feel have been magnified by the long duration, 13 years, over which the fraud was allegedly perpetrated, and the fact that the suspects seem to have deliberately and heartlessly targeted elderly persons as well as our much-loved and respected national icon Usain Bolt, Clark said. The investigation into Kingston-based Stocks and Securities Limited is just starting, so it's not immediately clear exactly how much money was allegedly stolen. Clark said clients were given false statements regarding their balances as part of the alleged fraud. There's no need to panic, he said. Despite this most unfortunate development, Jamaica's financial sector remains strong. Lawmakers move to protect Pawtuxet River Trail access. Representative Joseph McNamara has introduced a trio of bills inspired by the ongoing fight over a proposal to build contractor storage units along the Pawtuxet River. The Warwick Democrats' first bill, H 5116, would allow the Department of Environmental Management to recognize and identify public rights of way to shoreline and water access over land owned by a private party. The legislation was inspired by the continuing dispute over the Pawtuxet River Trail, which has been used for decades but runs through private property and was blocked this summer. McNamara's bill would specifically apply to trails and pathways that lead to a beach area or to a river or other waterway that empties into Narragansett Bay or the Atlantic Ocean. If part or all of such a trail is purchased by a private party and then blocked off, the DEM would have 3 years to intercede and deem the trail to be a public right of way. To qualify as a right of way, a trail would need to have been recognized and used by the public for shoreline and water access and have served as a footpath for at least 10 years uninterrupted. Once identified as a right of way, it could not be used for motor vehicle traffic. Currently, the Coastal Resources Management Council is tasked with identified public rights of way to the shoreline. If the CRMC initiates an action to designate a public right of way, that would take precedence, McNamara Bill says. asked why the DEM would be handling a task that has traditionally been carried out by the CRMC, McNamara said he wouldn't exactly give the CRMC an Oscar for their performance in recent years, referencing the high-profile controversies involving the appointed counsel. I know there may be people who say it's unconstitutional, but Rhode Island has one of the strongest constitutions in terms of protecting access to the water, said Representative Arthur Handy, Democrat from Cranston, who represents abutters on the Cranston side of the river. If the bill is signed into law, McNamara said, he and others would ask the DEM and Governor Dan McKee to certify the Pawtucket River Trail as a right-of-way. A second bill, H-5088, would update the definition of solid waste to include PVC pipe that is abandoned, discarded, left lying on the ground, or not stored in a covered facility. Large piles of PVC pipes lying uncovered at 175 Post Road have been an ongoing source of frustration for neighbors who point out that the pipes are near the Pawtucket River and could end up washing into Narragansett Bay if the river floods like it did in 2010. And I'm afraid I'm going to have to stop there as I'm out of time. Thank you very much.